Put a mask on your kids. Do you muzzle your child? Do you force them to wear that hideous thing on their face? I personally wouldn't do it. If I had kids, if they didn't have pre-existing health conditions, I wouldn't make my kid wear a mask. So when I read today that there's a bunch of parents out there that are saying spineless to obey the Washington State mask mandate in schools, I think, yeah, totally, 100%. Why we do this to kids, I have no idea. Maybe I'm very sensitive to children. I'm exceedingly sensitive to children. And when I think about the needs of kids right now in society, and when I think about the kind of society that we're producing, it makes me cringe. I feel bad for the children. I feel bad for the little ones out there. Because what are we doing? If you stop and you really think about it, what are we doing for kids? What are we actually practically doing for children? With masks and the whole, like, COVID thing and scaring kids and freaking kids out. You know, I know this is going to be traumatic for these kids because I was raised in a very traumatic household. Like I said, my grandmother was a deeply religious woman. She was a very abusive woman. And one of the things that it took me a long time to realize through years and years and years and tens of thousands of dollars of therapy is that my grandmother suffered from a condition known as Munchausen syndrome. If you're familiar with it, it's where an individual believes that they are sick all of the time. But she, to me, told me that I was sick all of the time. I was constantly in doctor's offices. So I would find out years later that that's a condition that's known as Munchausen's by proxy. So she got a lot of reward from people within our family and from people within our community for saying that she constantly had to take care of me, right? I constantly had some kind of ailment. And in many ways, she kind of enjoyed that attention. So she just continued to do it for many, many, many years. Now, as I've said previously, the day that she died when I was 12 or 13 years old is probably one of the greatest days of my life because I was finally free from the capricious whims of this horrific older woman. But I remember she told me one time we were sitting in the living room and it was evening time. It's like winter time. It was very cold outside. And she said, "You cannot go spend the night at your friend Alex's house." And I said, "Why can I not do that?" And she said, "You are very susceptible to getting sick." And I said, "But why?" And she said, "Well, that's just the way that it is." And I remember thinking that there was something intrinsically wrong with me, that I was susceptible to disease and death, because that's what she told me all of the time. She told me all of the time that I was sick, that there was something wrong with me, that I was diseased in some way. And I carried that with me for years and years and years and years and years. And so now when I think about COVID-19 as it relates to kids, and are we going to mask kids in schools? Are we not going to mask kids in schools? I think to myself, are we not doing the same thing? It's really frustrating for me to witness it, and I don't blame these parents for being deeply upset about it. Again, this is from the Seattle Times. A chorus of angry parents rose up after school districts announced that children returning to school this fall will need to wear masks in class. Kennewick, Richmond, Pasco districts announced last week that they would comply with the order from Washington Governor Jay Inslee requiring face coverings for all teachers and students, even if they have been fully vaccinated. He cited the spike in infections of the COVID-19 Delta variant for his decision. This is why it's so important to vote. If you're the kind of person out there who is saying, "Why do I vote? Why do I bother? Why do I even contribute to this system?" Because I would rather have a leader who follows the data than someone who follows speculation. And right now what that means to have a leader who follows the data is someone who looks at the CDC numbers and look at the information that's coming in about the Delta variant. And they say to themselves, "You know what? I am not going to put kids through this." As a matter of fact, they would say it loudly and they would say it proudly. And they would say, "You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I am the governor of the fine state of Washington, and I am not going to force children, nor am I going to force teachers to wear masks in the classroom, because this is objectively ridiculous by every single metric out there. And not only that, the idea that I would capitulate to the teachers' unions because this is what they want, because they don't actually want to go back to work, is absurd. I don't care how much money they contribute to the Democratic Party. I am going to balk everything that they say, and I'm going to go my own way because I'm the governor of the state of Washington. Now celebrate me." That would be great. You know, I mentioned this last week. State Superintendent Chris Reichdahl has stated that boards or districts that intentionally disobey, dismiss, or shun an explicit law, including a governor's executive order, which has the power of law, will see an immediate halt to their basic education appointment and their federal funds that come through the state superintendent's office. That's according to a message to Richland parents. So, you know, this is why. You think about, why is it important that I vote? Why is it important that I get involved with my community? This is why. Because you have these bureaucrats out there that are just totally out of control with this whole COVID thing. So in part, again, this is the Seattle Times, they say in part, Inslee is looking to protect children younger than 12 who aren't able to get a vaccine and whom the Delta variant poses a greater risk of infection than other strains, he said during a media briefing last week. Now, you'll notice something very key about this. Greater risk of infection. Greater risk of infection. Does it say anything about greater risk of death, greater risk of hospitalization, greater risk of long-term lasting effects? No, it doesn't. You see, this is where it gets really testy for me. This is where it gets really frustrating for me. When you are dealing with people who are just over the top when it comes to these kids. Now, I'm coming from the perspective, again, of someone who was subjected to the whims of a capricious, overbearing, authoritarian figure in my life, which was my grandmother. And as I have said many times previously, it has painted the way that I see the world. And so when I see this kind of ridiculous posturing, it triggers something deep within me. It triggers this desire in me to protect my inner child, where I say to myself, I do not want to see children treated in this way. I was at the supermarket today. Get this. I am at the supermarket today, and I see a woman, beautiful blonde woman, must have been a really young mom. She was probably she was in her late 20s, but a gorgeous woman, right? She got three kids, probably 6, 3, and 2, all little blonde kid, blue-eyed blonde kids, gorgeous little kids, very polite. They almost look like the Swiss Family Robinson because they were all walking around so polite. Kids were so very sweet. And I found myself, oddly, kind of looking at this family out of the corner of my eye, and I thought, these little kids, they look like they're dressed for church. They look so nice in their little button-ups, and I thought, man, I wish one of these days I could have a family that looks that nice. But the one thing that detracted from this beautiful picture of this family is mom has a mask on, boy number one has a mask on, boy number two has a mask on, little girl has a mask on. And I can see them fidgeting with the masks because they're little kids. It's really uncomfortable to wear something that impedes your breathing, right, when you're a little kid. And I remember thinking to myself, I would never, ever, ever do that to my kids. I would never, ever, ever put a mask on my child. You couldn't make me. You know, and now the CDC is recommending that all kids over the age of 2, I mean, this is obscene, right? But this is the thing that we have to do in order to try to scare people about COVID-19 further. And if you think that this is just me railing against COVID-19, that's not the case. If you think that this is me just kind of railing against government imposition into my life, that's not the case either. I'm asking you if you think that it's appropriate for a 3-year-old to have something over their face for 7 to 8 hours out of the day when they go to school. I'm asking you if you think that it's appropriate that a 5-year-old have a piece of filthy cloth over their face for 7 to 8 hours a day as they go to school. If you say yes, you are a monstrous human being. If you say yes, you need to reconsider how you're raising your children. We need to breathe. You know, I've been reading a book recently. Again, it's called Breathe. And the doctor, basically, it's not a very thick book, but his basic recommendation is that we breathe through our nose at all times. Breathe. Take it in, right? That's how we oxygenate our blood. That's how we're healthy. Now, he says in the book that when you don't do that, one of the things that happens is the cortisol levels raise in your body. That stress hormone raises in your body, goes up in your body. And then you are more likely, more susceptible to catch disease. And one of the things that continues to happen right now is that we are treating little kids almost like they're little adults in some weird way, where we are trying to get them all fired up and all afraid of COVID-19 and this illness in this way. Oh, you might give it to grandma, you might give it to your teacher, you might give it to your friend, without realizing the peripheral consequences of this, without realizing what is going to be the psychological state of these kids 5 years from now. 10 years from now. One of the consequences that I had from my grandmother is I developed really bad obsessive compulsive disorder by the time I think I was maybe 13 or 14 years old. Really bad obsessive compulsive disorder. Touching doorknobs, washing my hands compulsively, everything that I possibly could do in order to stave off this idea of illness or sickness. And again, had I not gone to a therapist, I started seeing a therapist when I was like 16 years old. I went to my grandfather and I said, I'm horrifically depressed. I have to go see somebody immediately. And thankfully, he took me to go see somebody. But had I not started seeing somebody at 16, I would likely be one of those people that you see out in the street right now. That's how bad it was. I could barely function as a 16-year-old because I had been told my entire life that I was, extremely susceptible to illness and death by my grandmother. I think about that in the way that we are treating kids now, and I really would like it if people could reevaluate how they want their own children to be treated by the state. Not by you as mom or as dad, but by the state. That this is now mandated by the state. And is that something that you want for your kid? Really tricky question. I would personally pull my kids out of school if it was me, if I had children. I would flat just pull them out of school. Because I don't want my kids thinking that the state always has their best interest at heart. You know, again, Inslee says that the aim is to lower the risk of transmission within schools to the larger communities. Again, I don't want my kids, if I had kids, to think that way about themselves. And I want to encourage my kids to be kids. We're going to talk about this in the next segment as well with that 7-year-old girl who got busted for the lemonade stand. And I'm going to give you my deep, dark secret thoughts about that. But when I think about just the kind of throwaway nature of it all, just, oh yeah, let's just put the little muzzles on the kids and I'm sure they'll be fine. It's like, why? How many kids, we've gone over this so many times, but how many kids do you think have died from COVID-19 tragically since, this whole thing started about 18 months ago? Just under 350 kids. Still tragic. It's very sad. But certainly not the numbers that we might see otherwise. So the message that we are sending kids right now is that they need to live in a state of constant fear and constant anxiety, constantly have to Purell their little hands, constantly have to wash the little masks, constantly have to social distance. I mean, again, I want you to think about the ramifications that this will have 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line. You're going to see astounding rates of anxiety in these kids. You're going to see astounding rates of depression in these kids. Why? Because their childhood was effectively taken from them. And when we place the burden of adulthood on children by saying, you must do this, it's compulsory from the state, what are we telling them? And everyone might say, well, Jack Stein, you're being such a conspiracy theorist, and I actually happen to think that I want my kids to wear masks because I want my kids to be safe from the Delta variant. Jack Stein, if you had kids, you'd probably think differently. And what happened if one of your kids died from COVID-19, Jack Stein? You probably don't even know what you're talking about. You're such a fool, Jack Stein. Whatever people say, I don't really care because I'm on the side of data and I'm on the side of truth. If you want to live in a fiction, if you want to live in a lie, you can go ahead and put the mask on your kids like that woman at the grocery store that I saw earlier today, and you can engage in this fiction, and you can engage in this lie, and you can say to yourself, I'm protecting my children. That's totally fine. But just so you know, for reference, it's the same thing that my grandmother was doing, engaging in this mental illness. She was engaging in this fiction. She was engaging in a lie. She took me to the doctor's office, I fool you not, at least once a month. At least. And she would take me in there and she would say something like, oh, he's got a funny cough, or he's got a weird rash, something like that. Constantly, constantly trying to find something that was wrong. You know, constantly taking different medications, constantly going to see different specialists, constantly going to see this doctor or that doctor to work on this or that. I'm telling you, man, it's not good for kids to put that in that kind of stressful environment. So again, what I'm thinking about recently is, how important it is to vote for these small little things like school board, things like that. So even if they don't necessarily have the authority to fight against Inslee's order, they have the voice for it. They have the ability to say, we do not want to comply with this. They have some kind of ability to be a voice for you if you are thinking that you do not want your kids to go through this. Voting, man, even as small as it might seem, or just making such a stink about it that somebody has to listen. I really believe that people are reaching a breaking point with all of this stuff, and the reemersion of this Delta variant and the hysterics around it is just going to make things worse. This has been my hypothesis for some time. You are going to cause people to break. As a matter of fact, I was reading today that now there are certain restaurants, like 100 businesses, something to that effect, that's forcing people to show their vaccinations before they go in. I mean, yeah, here it is right here. Over 100 Seattle bars, nightclubs, restaurants now requiring proof of vaccination. This is straight hysterics. It says, with COVID-19 transmission rising across Washington state, dozens of Seattle bars, clubs, and restaurants are now requiring customers to provide proof of their vaccination status. That's my medical data. I don't need to share it with anybody if I don't want to. Spoiler alert, I got the vaccine. I don't need the guy at the Domino's or I don't need the guy down at Subway to know that I got vaccinated. Again, several businesses began to take action last week after public health officials sounded the alarm over a rise in COVID-19 cases by the increasing prevalence of the Delta variant. That's on music venues, so on and so forth, among others, announcing new requirements. It's like, okay, fine, you don't get my business then. You don't get my private medical information, and you do not get my business. The hysterics around this whole thing, which at one point in time was valid, you know, to be concerned about it and to think to yourself, oh no, what's going to happen if I catch COVID-19? You know, a year ago, totally valid. But now with everything that we know about it and everything that we see about it, why then now this thing of how far can we push this? Because that's what it's really come to, in my humble opinion. I'm sure we'll have Dr. Z on later this week and he'll have a different opinion about it. But in my humble opinion now, what I see is this desire to keep pushing this as far as you can possibly push it. And we are going to have a debate in the 8 o'clock hour, myself versus Mr. Billy Sunshine. He'll be coming on and we're going to debate whether or not Lollapalooza should have taken place this weekend over in Chicago. Up next, we're going to be talking about that little seven-year-old criminal, I mean little girl, who decided to sell lemonade and was busted for it. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. So finally, I have a story for us that is, it just goes to show the power of bureaucracy and rules. Because finally, after just complaining for months and months and months now, we finally have a response from the bureaucrats out there as to what they're going to crack down on. You talk about homeless people? No. You talk about drug addiction? What, are you kidding me? There's bigger fish to fry out there, okay? I'm talking about a little girl out there, seven-year-old little girl, get this. She's out there in Everett, and she has a lemonade stand. And I'll tell you this right now, I'm not going to stand for it. There's a little seven-year-old girl out there, and she's got a lemonade stand, and she's trying to raise money for a little gospel church out there, and she's selling lemonade for $1 a cup. I won't have it, okay? This is America. I won't have it. So I want my park rangers to go down to Rucker Hill Park, and I want them to go up, and I want them to accost that little girl, and I want them to say, listen, little girl, you may be a saintly little angel of a little girl, but I refuse to allow you to sell lemonade on the side of the street, because you know why? This is America, and we don't allow you to do anything without a permit. Thank you. Finally, they did just that. Finally, we know that this little girl, Elsa, is breaking the law. She was with her mom. She was her grandmother last Saturday, okay? She's selling lemonade for $1 a cup, along with what, you may ask? Locally picked flowers. Ew, disgusting. Massive criminal enterprise out there, right? So she sets up under a large tree for the shade. She's been doing this for 3 years. She's had the mayor out there. She didn't do it last year because of COVID. So, on the 24th of July, she wasn't getting any customers. And then, all of a sudden, guess who pulled up? It's a park ranger. Park ranger says, hey, you're not allowed to sell products on park property. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but if I want to, potentially, I could go out into the woods right now with some heroin needles and some dope, and I could set up shop in any park I want to. King County, doesn't really matter. I can go anywhere I want to, and I could lay out my tent, and I can put up my hammock, and I could have my samurai sword and my hatchets outside of Broadview Thompson Elementary School, and I could shoot dope all day long. Hey, you want me to get into a fight? I'll do that as well. Hey, I know. How about I start a bike dismantling enterprise where I go around and I steal bikes and I and I go behind a Costco and I take apart these bikes. Is anybody going to come after me? Nope. I'm on the right side of the law. But if I'm a 7-year-old girl selling lemonade, oh, man. Oh, man. You better get out of my way. I mean, you can see how ridiculous this is. You know what I mean? You can just see how obscene this is. You have a little girl who's trying to just be a little girl. Little kids make lemonade. There was a kid doing it on my street, I think maybe 2 weeks ago. A little kid making pink lemonade. I went and I paid the $2 for the cup of pink lemonade. Now, was it good? No, it was garbage. But that's besides the point. I'm doing it because you show little kids that they live in a safe and healthy community. You know, when I was a kid, I was in California and we were at a park. And I remember I was trying to catch water bugs. And the elaborate setup that I had was a stick with a piece of string on it. That's it. No hook, no bait, no nothing. I think I must have been 5 years old. And I remember looking over and some old dude is eyeballing me. He's just eyeballing me. He's giving me just the stink eye. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I'm 5 years old. What does it really matter? Couple minutes later, park ranger shows up. And he says, hey, bud, are you fishing? And I go, no, because I'm five. He goes, what are you doing? I say, I'm trying to catch water bugs. And he says, well, just so you know, fishing is illegal here. And if you catch a fish, I'm going to have to fine you $500. And I immediately burst into tears because $500 to like a 5-year-old kid is millions of dollars, right? So my mom comes up, and my mom is a deaf woman, right? So she is asking the park ranger, she's writing down on a piece of paper, what did you tell my son? Now the park ranger, not knowing what to do with a deaf woman, he started panicking, right? So he's on the radio. He's on the radio and his partner shows up and my mom is saying, what did you say to my son? What did you say to my son? So I'm now having to interpret for my mom through tears, trying to explain what exactly is going on. It's a huge catastrophe. The ranger apologizes for threatening me and he goes away. Now, my mom, in that circumstance, did what any mom would do for her child, right? Why are you harassing my child? Why are you using your bureaucratic authority to harass a child? I would say the same thing to the Parks and Recreation Department. What are you doing harassing a child? You know, this is the message that people take in. And you may think that this is small and inconsequential. This is huge. If you compare this to what's going on in Broadview Thompson with all of the bureaucratic nightmare that that is, or you compare that with any of the parks out there, right? Or the big blowout over Compassion Seattle and everybody who was poo-pooing that idea. You compare this instance of a 7-year-old little girl selling lemonade in a park with grandma. This park ranger pulls up out of nowhere and he says, you know what? You know what? I can't have that. I can't. That's so stupid. He says, look at that little... He pulls up and he goes, look at that 7-year-old little girl. I'm not going to put up with this, all right? He gets out of his car and he walks up. He's got his hand on his holster with the gun. And he goes, listen here, Missy. You may think that you can sell lemonade in this park, but no, 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 you cannot. You're a criminal mastermind. And I'm shutting you down right now. Sure, maybe there are needles all over the place. Sure, maybe everything's a total disaster. But you know what? Your crime spree stops today, little girl. It stops today. It's unreal, man. It's unreal. You know, and I say that to say this. Kids need to know that they're kids and they live in a safe environment. You know, and having a park ranger come up and accost a little girl, what does that tell her about her environment? I'm sure that this park ranger handled it to the best of their ability dealing with a little kid. But if I was that park ranger, I'd let it go. I'd let it slide in the same way that I wish that park ranger would have left me alone 28 years ago. I wish that that park ranger had been a little bit more like our boy Andy Griffith and just kind of walked up and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to just let this one slide. And maybe even he could have done this. Maybe even gone up to the grandma and said, hey, you know what? We normally don't allow people to sell lemonade on park grounds, but I'm going to let you. So that kind of thing builds a community. This kind of stuff destroys a community. This kind of bureaucratic web, right? So I'm begging you out there, if you're a bureaucrat like this individual, I'm begging you on my hands and knees. Please, when you see kids being kids, let them be kids. And I'm not talking about spray painting a wall. I'm not even talking about, you know, breaking glass behind a QFC. I'm talking about just letting kids be kids. Little kids, just let them be kids. They want to sell lemonade. They want to fish for water bugs. They want to play. Just let them be kids. I promise you, there are bigger and better things for you to do with your time than going after little kids like this. We'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we're going to do some good news with Mr. Shane Peterson right after this. Shane Peterson is a little down in the dumps today, and Shane, you're a private man, and you're a man of private matters, and so, you know, don't want to dig into it, but what I will say, Shane Peterson, is that you're the most important member of the squad here on Cairo Nights, and that Lisa Brooks and I are very thankful every day that you show up to work, even when stuff's going tough for you, Shane. So if everybody could give Shane the appreciation that he deserves at 98973, I would appreciate it. Shane would appreciate it. Let him know how much he's loved and cared for here as the keystone of Cairo Nights, if you would, Shane Peterson.
Oh well, shucks. Yeah, I'm doing honestly pretty fine. But you know, I appreciate your your kind words are making me from going okay to a little bit better. I will say that.
I'm super codependent, Shane. So I really just when people feel bad, I feel bad. So it's the kind of thing where I just want to let you know how much you're appreciated. And on that note, the good news is that according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, analyzing data from states with breakthrough infections of COVID-19, they found that fully vaccinated Americans made up a very small portion of the infected population, with Oklahoma at 0.09%, the highest, and Connecticut at 0.01%, the lowest. Shane, with those numbers, do you know what the math adds up to?
Oh, gosh. I asked a dyslexic kid to do math. Gosh, I don't know. So with that percentage, those are fully vaccinated people, right?
Fully vaccinated people.
Oh, gosh. So the whole state of Oklahoma, I'm gonna take a shot out there.
Shane, you're making it so much more complicated than it needs to be. So in sum total, that's 0.01% of the population, which means that less than 1% of fully vaccinated people are experiencing breakthrough COVID-19 infections. Again, that's a study.
So what? Maybe like 120?
No, there's been around, just hovering around about 6,500 breakthrough cases of COVID-19.
So, okay, well, I was way off.
but more importantly, this is really good news. And the fact that the Seattle Times reported on it is really good news. But on top of that, people are acting like this is not a thing. This is the thing. The CDC only reports on breakthrough cases that have resulted in hospitalization or death. but the data there is even more promising. Less than 0.0004% of people who have been fully vaccinated against COVID-19 and experienced a breakthrough case needed to be hospitalized, and less than 0.0001% have died from the disease. To sum up, that's roughly 6,600 severe breakthrough cases among the 163 million fully vaccinated people in the United States. That's amazing. This is the greatest news of all time, Shane Peterson. And yet, if you look around, people are acting like we are literally about to enter into the planet of the apes, human beings wiped off the planet, monkey people running around, capturing human beings, and so on and so forth.
I don't know. I think it's just more people kind of just really just being overly cautious. I don't know if it's people necessarily coming to Armageddon. Some people are definitely taking more precautions than other, and, you know, bless them. Let them do it. You know, we've been getting back into a sense of normalcy. And for the past couple of weeks, you know, I think that we've definitely gotten back into the groove of things. And our economy can't suffer another lockdown. So, I mean, I don't know what will happen to any of the entertainment industry, any of the restaurant industries. If this is going to happen again, and there's still more and more people getting vaccinated. And obviously these numbers still show that, you know, even though that there's still a little bit of spikes here and there, you know, we're kind of still... We're responding pretty well to it. So, I mean, all around great news. I just hope that we can just keep things going and keep, you know, the concerts rolling and the nice social gatherings. You know, I'd like to keep that stuff going for a while.
I was watching Lollapalooza this weekend, and you crossed my mind, Shane Peterson. I was watching the footage as it streamed live on YouTube, and I was thinking to myself, Sugar Shane Peterson would love to be out there in the audience with all these beautiful women, enjoying some Post Malone. And then I thought to myself it just hit me out of nowhere. I went, the media is going to have a field day with this on Monday, and people are going to be ripping into this event over the weekend. But by and large, it was a bunch of young people out and enjoying the sun and enjoying Chicago in late July, which is amazing, and enjoying just this amazing festival. And yet, on today, when I was going through the news, my prediction came true. I'm looking at everybody talking about Lollapalooza, super spreader event, so on and so forth. And I just thought, can't we have something nice? Can't we just have one nice thing? So, speaking of Shane Peterson, in the next segment, Billy Sunshine is going to come in, and we are going to debate exactly this topic. Billy thinks that Lollapalooza, the music festival, should have never happened. I think that it should have happened. So we will be going back and forth for a couple of few, Shane, and I think it should be pretty good. I think because Billy's got some, he says he's got some pretty good arguments up his sleeve.
True. You should also ask him about DaBaby getting kicked off the lineup for some of his, see what his thoughts are on DaBaby. We know Billy Sunshine's a DaBaby fan.
Yeah, he's a huge DaBaby fan. He's actually, those comments, by the way, Shane, I know we only have a couple of seconds left, but those comments that rapper made about people with HIV is horrendous.
Absolutely. They were gross.
That guy possibly, what did he say specifically? He was like, I can't do his jargon because he's got deep Florida jargon, but it was basically along the lines of, we don't allow people with HIV into the show. Like, all the people with HIV need to leave, something to that effect.
I'm trying to look for the actual quote right here, but we could talk about it later on in the show. We could talk about it at 9B.
Perfect. All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, Mr. Billy Sunshine is going to be on the line. We're going to go toe-to-toe, two intellectual titans, over whether or not masks should have been worn at Lollapalooza, and if Lollapalooza should have happened in the first place. We'll take a really, really quick break. We'll be right back after this.